Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be starting the show by talking with you about the Niagara Escarpment. Here in Wisconsin, it stretches over 230 miles, starts southern Waukesha County, goes through northeastern Wisconsin and Green Bay, and we'll be talking with two experts about the conservation advocacy and geotourism of these open cliffs in the state. Eric Fowle, one of our guests, an urban and regional planner and the founder, co-chair of the Niagara Escarpment Resource Network. Eric, great to have you with us today.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Thanks for having us on. Pleasure to be on your show today.
Yeah, and Susan Kennedy with us as well. She works with NERN and is an international geotourism specialist, has worked on projects in ecotourism and cultural heritage management. And Susan Kennedy, great to have you with us as well.
Thank you, Larry. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you. What have you seen as you listen to these two experts? What have you seen along the route of the Niagara Escarpment? What do you want to know about Wisconsin's rock formations? Questions about supporting conservation and geotourism in the area? I hope you'll join in. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or phone us at 1-800-642-1234. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And already a caller online. We'll get to Rich in just a minute or two here. But first, Eric, for those who aren't familiar, what is the Niagara Escarpment?
Sure. The escarpment is essentially a 420 million year old geologic feature. It's very prominent in eastern Wisconsin, as you said, covers just about the entire eastern part of the state. If people are familiar with the High Cliff State Park and the cliffs along Lake Winnebago or up in Door County, you're essentially looking at the Niagara Escarpment. It's the edge of an ancient shallow Silurian sea that formed with layers and layers and layers of sand and coral and other materials over that time. And the edge of it was exposed during the glacial period in Wisconsin about 15,000 years ago. The material is such a hard rock that it's very resistant. And so when the glaciers came through, it scraped and scoured and exposed that edge, forming the cliff face that you see now.
Yeah, it's really cool. Could you describe it more? What does the ledge look like, Susan, to you?
Well, there are several rock ledges in Wisconsin, and in my opinion, the word ledge does not do this geologic formation justice.
No.
The word Niagara in there is not a coincidence. These rock ledges do connect to Niagara Falls, go up through Upper Michigan, Ontario, Canada, spill out to Niagara Falls and beyond to New York State, which is just incredible. And I grew up in Appleton and never heard of the ledge or the escarpment, so I'm really excited to be able to promote it.
Yeah, I bet. And it is so beautiful. My daughter and I were in Door County, Green Bay area, and many of the photos I noticed that were taken were photos of her standing along one of those ledges or one of those edges. They're really beautiful, especially along the lake to me anyway. Let's talk about the resource network for a minute. Eric, the Niagara Escarpment Resource Network started 1998, I think. How did it get started and how the goals of the program evolved over time?
Yeah, it really started just through some light conversation with some acquaintances and other conservation professionals. I was working with a community that had the escarpment coming through it, working on a land use plan, and I had to get myself up to speed on what this was and why so many people were concerned about it, and in that instance, impacts or potential impacts from quarrying activities. So I learned a lot about the escarpment through efforts in Ontario, Canada, where they've been working at this for at least twice as long as we have, and really just started wondering why nobody in this state has really acknowledged it or given it the attention that it deserved. So those conversations led to building a network of people with similar interests and really having the main goal of building awareness about the escarpment. When we first started this back in 1998, if you said the word escarpment or Niagara escarpment, people would look at you cross-eyed. They didn't know what that was. If you used the vernacular term ledge, which is used most commonly south of Door County, people had a better idea, and people had stories that, you know, I used to play on those cliffs at the back of my grandma's yard. So there were a lot of connections to this. And really our focus is to help others, including landowners, organizations, local governments, try and reach a point where we've got a protected Niagara Escarpment corridor that provides not only economic but social and environmental values for the generations to come.
Yeah. And Susan, let's talk a bit about education. How much work does the program do to educate the public about the Niagara Escarpment?
Yes, we are doing a lot of work with educating the public. We do have a curriculum feature that's part of the Niagara Escarpment Resource Network. And my piece is really educating the public through what we're going to have a website that's going live soon, weledge.org, and through interpretation panels at key locations. So we are working with Thrive Architects in Waukesha and the Southern Kettle Moraine State Forest Unit Park Superintendent to designate the western terminus at Brady's Rocks. So there's going to be some interpretation panels, and along the way we have 14 key points plotted along the escarpment in Wisconsin, which goes through seven counties, and I'll list them for you from south to north: Waukesha, Dodge, Fond du Lac, Calumet, Kewaunee, Brown, and Door. So we're working with local communities, with chambers of commerce and economic development corporations, all kinds of resources that we're working with to promote this.
It's very cool. Rich in Oshkosh, let's give you a chance to join in. Rich, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Good morning, Larry. Good to listen to your program and your guests. And I'm driving north of Oshkosh. I'm on the road, and I'm just going up along the Lakeshore Drive there, looking across at Highcliff Park. And we're looking about 10 miles across the water to the escarpment. But it's a real good view for people who want to see how it stretches out for as far as you can see until the horizon. It gets buried in the horizon, southern horizon. But across the lake, we're looking at something that sticks out of the ground 400 feet above the water. And to see that from a distance of 10 miles, it's really a showplace, or I should say a showcase for Lake Winnebago and the escarpment. And so I was watching it while I was listening to your program, so I thought I'd call in.
Oh, man. I tell you that, and Highcliff Park is an absolutely wonderful place to hike and walk around in, isn't it? Richie, you probably haven't been there before, but it's a lovely, lovely area. John in Escanaba, Michigan, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Very interesting topic. It was something that I actually just kind of became aware of only in recent years, even though I grew up in Escanaba. And across from me, you can see the tip of Washington Island, but also on the Stonington Peninsula, you can see some very sharp cliffs of limestone with, I remember I used to go fossil hunting there as a child. I'm assuming this is all part of the same structure that you're talking about. And I guess my bigger question is, since this one that I'm aware of is on a Lake Michigan shore, what other embankments are on any of the Great Lakes shores right now? And are they as threatened by hot water as my own personal property is here? And is there any way that you can intervene to not let the water essentially erode the structure away?
John, thanks very much. Well, Eric, comment?
Yeah, no, I appreciate having a caller from Upper Michigan. Yeah, the Garden Peninsula, which is sort of across the bay from Escanaba, is the same formation. Actually, a great place to view it is Fayette State Park up in the Garden Peninsula. As it reaches across, going to the east across Upper Michigan, a lot of it isn't very prominent, and mostly because it took the full impact from the glaciers, kind of hit it head on, so it's much more eroded. And then the fact that Upper Peninsula is just a little more wild and forest covered, it's difficult to spot from the car if you're driving along, as you could in Wisconsin in some places. As far as the high water goes, it's not something that we've really dealt with as an issue. Certainly, it's an issue all around the Great Lakes, particularly to private property owners. There are a lot of public lands along the escarpment in Wisconsin, as well as the UP. And I think all I can say is erosion has been happening on the escarpment for, you know, hundreds of millions of years. And that's going to continue. It's part of the natural process. And if you think about it, the reason that those cliff faces look the way they do, with large talus blocks of stone that are at the base that fall off, is because of that erosion. So maybe it will enhance it in some places if you want to look at a positive, but probably not a lot can be done in terms of, you know, protecting those features from the high water.
It's interesting on the water, just it's an aside, but I can remember back maybe 10, 12 years ago when the water levels were really low and people were really concerned about it. And probably 10 years before that, it was high. So it does kind of go up and down, doesn't it?
It does, it does. Interesting point, because he asked about other prominent features along the Great Lakes. It's a fact that the escarpment cuts through the middle of the Great Lakes to the degree that there is no more than a 50-mile distance between the escarpment and one of the Great Lakes. You know, it's that related to the Great Lakes features, so...
Wow. So just following all along the Great Lakes, and you're going to really be probably near the escarpment for sure.
Correct. Correct.
John, thanks a lot for calling. You can join in too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a call from Tom in Janesville. Hi, Tom.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's my understanding that the Niagara Cuesta runs through the state, and that Cuesta is a break in the great sheet of Niagara limestone that underlies part of the state, and that those sheets have then been tilted, and that break, the sharp edges of it, are raised, and that's what creates these, what we're calling the Niagara escarpments. Can you comment on that?
All right.
Yeah, I can take
that.
Yeah,
go ahead, Eric.
As I mentioned before, the escarpment is the edge of that ancient shallow sea. The middle of that ancient sea, or what's referred to as the Michigan Basin, is really about the middle of the state of Lower Michigan. And so that area has been depressed over time, and the edges have been raised through a lot of different geologic processes. The cuesta that you refer to is actually a term which really refers to the lands between the Niagara Escarpment and Lake Michigan, and they are slightly tilted towards Lake Michigan at about 4 degrees. Sometimes you'll hear the word dip slope, which is used to describe that feature. So whenever we talk about the cuesta, it's really referring to the land above and behind the escarpment going to the east. And that has a lot of unique qualities with respect to the limestone and the bedrock, in that it's highly fractured. You can see that if you look at the edge of the cliff, you have all of these different layers, both vertical and horizontal cracks within there. That extends through the whole landscape and allows for rainwater and groundwater to move and penetrate through it very quickly. In some cases, throughout the state, it may take days, weeks, months, you know, for water to seep through and move around. In this case, it's within hours that something on the surface of the land can get down into the bedrock and perhaps even into people's wells, contaminating them. So that's often referred to as a karst landscape. and the limestone will dissolve, a lot of cave formation, crevices, and other unique features just as a result of the geology.
Thanks very much for that question, Tom. Appreciate it. Eric Fowle, our guest today, one of our guests. He's a board member of the Lakeshore Natural Resources Partnership, founding co-chair of one of its programs, the Niagara Escarpment Resource Network, or NERN. Susan Kennedy, a board member of the Lakeshore Natural Resources Partnership and the Niagara Escarpment Resource Network. Great to have them with us. Join in with your own questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jana Rose Schleiss, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us today on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller talking about the Wisconsin Niagara Escarpment Resource Network with our two guests, Susan Kennedy and Eric Fowle. Great to have them with us. Questions for them? Our lines are filling pretty well filled up, but you can email us at ideas@wpr.org for sure. Love to hear from you. Bill in Belgium, Wisconsin, our guest, next caller. Hi, Bill.
Hi, good morning, Larry. First of all, thanks so much for taking my call. Wonderful show, as always. And I just wanted to start with by commending Eric and Susan for the great work that they're doing. This is such a critical and special geologic feature, and to have it part of our state of Wisconsin, it's great to know that an organization like NERN is really trying to work hard to tell the story and to make sure that from a conservation perspective, we really take special care of it. So first of all, thank you to them. Secondly, I wanted to ask a little bit about the economic impact of the Niagara Escarpment in the state of Wisconsin. I'm a believer that, you know, we don't tell enough in terms of the economic impact in the state of our conservation efforts. And we talk about it with state parks and national forests, but, you know, something like this, I have to believe, has real economic impact, not just in terms of geotourism, which I know is right up Susan's alley, but also maybe agriculture. Or I believe I read that there's a winemaking component here involved too. I guess I wanted to hear a little bit more about that because that's an important part of these efforts, no doubt.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for calling. Well, maybe Susan, let's start with you. Comment.
Okay, great. Yes, what we are doing is trying to get visitors off the beaten path. So the idea behind the geotourism program that I developed is the sum is greater than each of its parts. Basically, we are creating a destination along these seven counties, and some of the lesser known, lesser visited ones, like Dodge, Fond du Lac, Calumet, Kewaunee, people are going to be able to learn about the escarpment and then visit mom and pop type businesses. I have an eligibility for participation form, and each business that is in the tourism industry, whether it's a restaurant or accommodation provider, food and beverage, retail, they'll be vetted for their efforts towards sustainability, which is the triple bottom line of people, planets, profits. And they'll become part of a story map that we're developing. And on that story map, visitors will be able to log on to it, and it will contain these private sector businesses, and of course, any visitor centers, natural areas, cultural heritage, and spread the economic benefits of tourism so people aren't just driving up the main highways, for example, if they're going to Door, you know, gets them off that beaten path.
Yeah, that's it. So that's the slow route, right?
Right. It's a big trend in travel, slow travel. Especially now.
I like that a lot. Well, Eric, could you comment on just maybe the overall economic impact?
Yeah, well, there has been no dedicated study to looking at the escarpment corridor and its true economic impact. I think you can simply take, you know, any figures that you might have seen or studies from any of the individual state parks. There's seven state parks right along that corridor that contain the escarpment. You could add up the visitor impacts from the seven counties along that corridor and just totaling those up. I mean, you're certainly probably into the hundreds of millions of dollars. There are so many other businesses that are connected to that landscape or exist because of that feature being there. It was mentioned about wine and winemaking and viticulture, and that's certainly something that is gaining prominence. I had the opportunity and the pleasure to work with a gentleman by the name of Steve DeBaker from Trout Springs Winery in southern Brown County, who has really led the effort on this. And we took about a 5-year process applying to the federal government for what's known as American Viticulture Area designation. And this is the same formal designation that all of these grape growing areas in California have, for example. And what we had to do was basically prove that the landscape was very unique and suitable to growing grapes. And because of the escarpment, its proximity between water bodies, as well as the geology and the fact that it drains very quickly, lend itself well to growing grapes. And because of that, we've got a wine industry that continues to grow within that area. The AVA, which is called Wisconsin Ledge AVA, was awarded back in 2012 by the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tax, and Tobacco, covers about 2.6 million acres, and is actually the 12th largest AVA in the United States. And now we have 24 wineries within that area that are utilizing or growing grapes. So you can taste the escarpment in a glass if you visit any one of those.
And I have to tell you and admit that I had some of that wine about a week ago when my daughter and I were in Door County, and it was very good. It was very good. Well, Bill, thank you so much for that question. Nick in Egg Harbor, your turn. Hi, Nick.
Hey, I guess I have a question. I'll just comment on what you guys were just talking about. I have recently purchased a property up here, so definitely spending some money, you know, in the area because of this Niagara escarpment, or that was at least a contributing factor. Quick question about that. I'm wondering whether the top layer of the escarpment, I'm talking underground here, and I've heard it called maybe shell, whether that erodes or chips away. In other words, like, will water heave into the top layer or get into the top layer of the escarpment and cause it to, like, slowly come away?
Eric?
Yeah, that's part of the natural erosion processes, and the term I picked up on and always like using is it's called mass wasting. No, it's not a college party. It's a process. But the effects of water are very prominent, particularly near or close to the edge with all of the cracks in the rock. Water will sit in there, freeze and thaw, and eventually start pushing out large blocks of stone from the edge. You can see that if you take some hikes in some of the state parks, that you'll see these large rectangularish boulders essentially that have broken off from the face of the escarpment or pushed out. In some places, they haven't quite fallen over, and you will see evidence of what's called block creep when that pushes out, and crevice caves, these tall, narrow passages behind the rock that you can crawl through in some places. So it's a constant process. It's always pushing the rock out, and I suppose that speaks to the need to always use caution and safety if you are hiking along the top edge of the escarpment or below it as well, because nature happens, and at any particular point, some of these chunks can fall off.
Yeah, there you go. Nick, thank you so much. Mary in Bailey's Harbor. Hello, thank you for calling.
Hi, I have a question getting back to the issue of tourism. And I know you touched on this just a little bit, but I wanted to hear more about this because I'm a Door County resident, and I am interested in how we move from where we are, or perhaps to integrate from where we are, the attractions of the Niagara Escarpment with other attractions of Door County itself. And the most, top in my mind is getting businesses on board to lead the way for guiding our visitors to environmental activities while still honoring our culture of art and theater so that our environment contributes more significantly to our tourist economic pie, which also begs the question how we evaluate that economic impact.
Well, interesting question. Maybe Susan and Eric could both comment. Susan, do you want to comment first?
Sure. Yes, that's an excellent question. So I do work in sustainability, and I'm also a Door County resident as well. I am a huge proponent of, like I said, part of our program is going to be giving a leg up to the private sector places that are doing good, that are, you know, cross all the boxes for sustainability. And hopefully when those people are showcased, others will want to follow suit to become part of this program. And that way, like, the rising tide lifts all boats. And that is my hope as well, to make Door County more sustainable.
Yeah. How do businesses, how do you relate to or interact with them? How would they get involved?
We generally go through the visitor bureaus, chambers of commerce, and things like that. So we'll be working behind the scenes on that. The pandemic has put a little bit of the kibosh on having meetings in person, but we are doing a lot of desk work and behind the scenes work so that we are ready to roll once this passes.
Yeah, once this passes. Eric, a comment from you.
Yeah, well, we continue to build the geotourism program. There's a lot of work and effort and just coordinating and collaborating and trying to get everybody on the same page. But the interactions we've had with some various counties and other groups give us really high hopes. Many of those counties and communities have already recognized that the escarpment, the environment, really is a key aspect of any tourism within their community, and leveraging that and at the same time trying to promote the stewardship ethic, I think, is part of the goal here. The escarpment environment is very unique. It's not just the cliffs and things of that nature. People are always attracted to tall, you know, things on the landscape. But just by its nature, it creates a very unique ecosystem where you have flora and fauna and other features that you will find nowhere else in the state because of the microclimate that's created, the interaction with groundwater and springs and things of that nature. So there's no doubt that the escarpment and its places have a very unique sense of place. And we want people to go experience and create their own definition of sense of place. It's awes people. It's spectacular, whether you're looking at a 200-foot cliff or you're looking for things of a very small scale tucked inside the rocks.
There you go. Mary, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry in Waukesha, it's your turn. Hi, Jerry.
Hello. Hi. I just wanted to mention, years ago, I went to a place called Two Creeks, buried forest right on the shore of Lake Michigan. And, you know, it was actually a spot, apparently they dated the recession of the last ice age from that, okay, or the glaciation from that. And it seems to me that's kind of important, but the place was absolutely empty. There's one little teeny sign there, and, you know, it's like this has got some real significance here.
Yeah,
and I'd just like to find out if you guys know anything about that, and if you, you know, consider maybe at least putting up some better signage.
Yeah. Two Creeks Buried Forest. Eric, let's go to you.
I can't speak to a lot of detail about that site. I know it exists. I think I've been there once, but that's certainly something that's tied more to the glaciation, although I'm sure it's tied into the geology as well. But it is part of the story. What you find is when you start looking at the cliff face and searching for answers and getting information, that you find everything is connected. The escarpment wouldn't be there on the landscape if it wasn't for the glaciers. And the glaciers themselves created numerous other features along the cuesta, the backside of the escarpment. The Kettle Moraine, Northern Kettle Moraine, Southern Kettle Moraine are examples of that and have their own unique landscape that is indirectly tied to the escarpment itself. So we hope that over time, once we focus on some of the major sites that are most visited in terms of building awareness, getting interpretive signs up, that we can start looking at some of these other locations and see if we can help expand the story. Many of these sites obviously are owned by either land trust, the state, federal agencies, and things of that nature. So it takes a lot of work and effort working with those entities to try and help them tell that story better.
Yeah. Jerry, thank you so much. Let's go to Don in Birchwood. Hi, Don.
Hello, Larry. I think there's a wonderful opportunity to create awareness for the Niagara Escarpment by combining forces with the Bruce Trail in Ontario. It runs from about 500 miles along the Niagara Escarpment from Niagara Falls to Tobermory, Ontario. And it is a major trail, and they have a feature there which they will have friendship trails where they adopt a section for another foreign trail. And the Ice Age National Scenic Trail is very closely tied to the escarpment at Brady's Rock and also into Door County. And it would be great to have a friendship trail between the Bruce Trail Conservancy and the Ice Age Trail Alliance in order to highlight both of these trails and promote awareness of the escarpment both in Canada and the United States.
And Susan, I think there are some long-range plans for working with our partners in Canada. Are there not?
Yes, there are. And actually, Eric has been to the Bruce Trail, so he might be able to speak directly on that. But we definitely want to expand this program once we get Wisconsin underway to include Michigan, Canada, and the New York State.
Yeah. Eric, a comment.
Yeah, very familiar with the Bruce Trail or segments of it. My wife and I have hiked over there for a number of years when you could get across the border, which you can't now. But that is really something that inspired me in this entire effort was the experience along the Bruce Trail and just the accessibility to the escarpment and nature. We don't have a formal trail end-to-end from our escarpment, but it is part of our long-term vision. It may not happen for 50 years. It takes a lot of work. Those that have participated and worked on the Ice Age Trail know how that process works and the time that it takes. So we felt, at least in the interim, the geotourism effort spanning the seven counties could at least start creating a sort of a virtual, a conceptual trail, at least a driving tour, if you like, that can connect the dots and the jewels that are all along that corridor. And hopefully that will drive conversations more locally that we can start looking at an end-to-end hiking trail or a footpath going from Brady's Rocks on the southern end all the way up to Rock Island. So if anybody wants to help out on that effort, they can certainly contact us, but that is part of the vision. If you can't access and see and touch and feel the escarpment close up, minimizes your experience. So we encourage that and want to accomplish that over time.
Yeah, absolutely. How do people get in touch with you?
There are a couple of ways. We are currently we just rebranded a little bit, and we are trying to launch our website. We were supposed to have it launched this morning, but that's not happening. So, but by next week, it should be live, and people can go to www.wiledge.org, or WeLedge, as we refer to it. We also have a Facebook page. If you just type in Wisconsin Niagara Escarpment in Facebook, you can find that. You'll find our contact information there. But certainly people can reach out to myself and or Susan, and we'd love to have additional partners and people working on this. We've got a steering committee of about 12 people, and I can tell you there's more work than 12 people can do. And we're always getting new ideas and always looking at promoting partnerships with existing organizations where possible also.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And we'll make sure those sites are posted up on the Larry Mueller Show page. So If people didn't get that down, they can get it from there. Susan, there are types of ledge tours that are available, are there not, or is it with the COVID a problem?
Yes, that has created a problem. The tours are on hold at the moment. But I wanted to also say that I'm really excited that the state of Wisconsin Tourism Department has developed an Office of Outdoor Recreation. We're only one of about 16 states that has this new office, and I'm really excited because we're going to be able to promote this, hopefully, through them. I have some talks coming up, and just be able to get the word out there on where to go and what they can do now, and then we'll be working behind the scenes to keep expanding the program.
Wow, it sounds wonderful. Well, citizen science opportunities, are there any, Eric, available for folks interested in helping out?
We don't have any programmed activities directly related to citizen science, but we certainly encourage folks to do that and learn on their own. There are many other organizations and groups that are kind of, you know, partnered with us or that we relate to that may offer that. Could be places like the Ridges Sanctuary in Door County or through one of the state parks. But again, we're trying to bolster all of these entities up and down the corridor so that they have the right information. They can be a vehicle to share more about the escarpment because it's impossible for us as an organization to be everywhere. But I think with a simple search on the internet or talking with some of the staff at these sites, they could easily turn people on to some of the citizen science opportunities.
Well, it's been a real pleasure talking with both of you today, and I hope we have a chance to do this again. It's really fun. It's a very important feature in our state, the Wisconsin Niagara Escarpment and the Resource Network. Sounds to me like you're doing a wonderful job, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. We look forward to coming back on the show.
Yeah, I'd love to have you back. Eric Fowle is a board member of the Lakeshore Natural Resources Partnership and founding co-chair of one of its programs, the Niagara Escarpment Resource Network, or NERN. He spent over 25 years as an urban and regional planner and brings a lot to this program, as does Susan Kennedy, who is a board member of the Lakeshore Natural Resource Partnership and the Niagara Escarpment Resource Network. She's an international geotourism specialist and has worked on projects in sustainable tourism, ecotourism, and cultural heritage management really across the globe. So it's wonderful to have them with us today on the show. We're going to move from the east side of the state, kind of, to the west side of the state. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Reggie McLeod, editor and publisher of Big River Magazine. That coming up next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.